Racing Pulse heads to the weekend, finding you plenty of winners. On Racing Pulse, it's Gator's Game Plan.
And I reckon Gator would be a fan of the wide open spaces of the course proper at Pakenham. How are you, Gator?
I'm well, mate. Yes, it's a beautiful big track to play on. And, hopefully we can get a few right this week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, I was watching on .com does something that I always get glued to when they do replays of a country cup going back about 20 years, and they do one after the other after the other, and I get addicted to them because I keep trying to guess which horse won. And the transition from the old Pakenham to the new Pakenham is one of the great stories in Victorian racing, isn't it? From that tight little track, which was on such valuable land right in the middle of Pakenham, they had to sell it. I think the Burke family was instrumental in all this, and then now about 7 or 8 years in, the it's a great success story, particularly for the stay-at-home punter who wants to bet with confidence. It's a great precinct, the Pakenham racetrack, isn't it?
No, I agree. I mean, they poured a bit into it and a lot of effort and certainly dosh. And, with the two tracks and the wide-open spaces, I mean, that was they had a bit of vision, didn't they, about where the demographic is heading, away from metropolitan training facilities and... world-class.
Where are we going to look today, mate? Because you've always got an eye on Sydney. We might even start up there if there's something with your game plan that's caught your eye up in Sydney.
Yeah, well, I think the bet of the day across the two states, certainly between Pakenham and Rose Hill specifically, is Gaza Blanco. I don't think he could have won any better last time. I'm a big fan of the horse that he sailed by in Greece, and there's plenty of merit on the clock. Look, I know it was a fast day, but he came off a strong speed, still recorded an exceptional last 600 and obviously won a four to break the track record on the day as well. So, but the change-up speed was probably the key. Now, he's got to go the other way, of course. I don't have too many reservations this stable when that happens. So I think I'm pretty keen he'll win on Saturday and then go on to better things.
That's race three, number two. Do you find Mar Eustace is more adaptable than most? You know, when you're betting on a stable, Melbourne to Sydney, Sydney to Melbourne, Annabelle Neesham's horses seem to adapt really well down here. It seems pretty seamless with Mar Eustace, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think a few of the stables these days have got it right, to be honest. Back in the day, it was a real query, wasn't it? Switching states. And it still is to some extent. Each athlete's different. I mean, even going back to the mighty Varro, he was lengths better on his left leg, wasn't he? So no matter what training facilities you've got, I think some horses and athletes certainly adapt better to it as well.
Varrogue was the most extreme. He won a George Main, but I reckon he had about 17 goes in Sydney that way of going for one win.
Yep.
And he won that day. I wonder whether it might have had a bit to do with, obviously, his lead leg, but also those rock-hard tracks we used to have down here in the autumn when he used to dominate. He was always running on fast ground down here, and Sydney was always just that. Every time he spat on the track, he would he'd fail. And Super, old Super, even though he was the famous winner of that Cox Plate, he was a much better horse right-handed, and Saintly was a much better horse left-handed, wasn't he?
Yep, no, that's it. And it just goes to show you that even the absolute elite, and those three certainly fit that category, sometimes they don't adapt. What hope have us little foot soldiers got? There's garden variety athletes. So, I think Gaza Blanco is well above garden variety, well above average. And I think he's got a group win in him in his future. So, it'd be interesting on Saturday.
What else in Sydney on Saturday? I see the nice horse. He's been going around in good races, like Brutality going around in the eighth race. And Wisdom of Water, those sort of well-known horses who's very testing for the punter. What else do you like up at Rose Hill?
Yeah, well, it's an odd sort of day. There's a couple, that I'm keen on at a reasonably short quote. I've touched on Gaza Blanca and there's a horse called Zumon who led one at the Valley, running terrific time there. So I wouldn't think leading would be any great disadvantage with the rail 5 metres, although has been playing really well the last few meetings, Rose Hill. IME looks the one to beat in race 9. A couple of other races, I've got a couple on top at double figures. So, as I said last week, they certainly don't have to all win for us to make money. But Brutality's a fascinating runner. Back many levels in grade, but gee, not many win with 64.5, do they? So that's a big task for him.
No, absolutely it is. Well, we might have a little look at Pakenham now. And just for those who aren't accustomed to betting at Pakenham on the course proper on a Saturday and need a reminder about how it plays, it just plays well, doesn't it? Is there any quirk of the track that you'd like to point out?
Oh, look, I think I tend to go on recent historical evidence rather than, you know, going back a long way. I think that's more relevant because things change and weather's patterns change, as we well know, in the last few months. But so we've got the rail back in the true. We had a 7-metre rail here at the last meeting. The inside lanes were certainly avoided by most as the day wore on. So just a bit of natural wear and tear there. But I wouldn't expect, if you're a run-on horse and you get a genuinely run race, I wouldn't be scared to back that horse.
All right. Well, I'll go race by race, and you tell me your levels of interest. The first at Pakenham is a 2,000-metre benchmark 78. Have you got a thought here?
Well, I think Braden Star, if I'm framing a market, would have to be pretty short. Obviously, he was a trial star before that outstanding debut win. He didn't really have a card into the race. He sustained a long, wide run and still beat them. You have to think a bigger track and 2,000 metres are only positives. And one of his key rivals, Shibley, may well end up in Sydney. So I think Flash Feeling some sort of danger, but I don't think anything else can win it. So by process of, percentages of winning chance, I guess, you know, around even money, does he win one in every two? If you run it 10 times, probably. So I think he's a fair price.
All right. That's Braden Star, number 7 in race 1. The second is another benchmark 78. This one's over 1,200. There's a couple here, you know, possibly down in grade. I'm thinking of the Adela Moore type situation. Mm. There's a Frontari second up. I'm wondering whether it might be some sort of a... What do you make of it?
Well, I think the interesting runner is No Secret, who's having her first Australian start. She's jumped out well. She's run 2 of 3 on dry tracks at home. They were at 1,400, though. As I say, the jump outs were quite good, certainly without raving. I think Blistering and Adela Moore are better than 78 grade, simply. They've proven that to some extent, with Adela Moore running well in stakes grade. Blistering and her one all on their CV. They both come back to 1,200. So, look, I just lent to Blistering. Might have a head start on Adela Moore, but they're the two I want to play.
Blistering and Adela Moore. Benchmark 70 is race 3. This one's over 1,200 metres as well. We might learn a bit about how the 1,200-metre circuit's playing in the second race before this one. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking here?
Look, good race. Invincible Caviar beat Blistering in good time, first up, then beaten Favourite Valley Lane, Forgive. I think she can hit back. I think she's pretty good. You know, obviously, she's expectations always high. When you're the daughter of the immortal. Jaconi's jumped out well enough. Certainly ran good time, but he was ridden to do it. He's a pretty good horse. Don't love the draw, but I think he can win. Jungle Jim's another on his trial box. So is Just Jono and Adamant. So the trick to this race, so many of them are first up and have trialed well. So I'll be interested in the market moves, but Invincible Caviar Jaconi were my top two in the third.
I was in Bali and I watched Invincible Caviar, and she just got squeezed and skittled and knocked around, and then probably a few of us were wondering whether she maybe could have been withdrawn at the gates after that incident, and it all looked like everything had just stuffed up on the night, but then she's back reasonably quickly, so whatever it was, it can't have been that serious.
Yeah, that's it, and then certainly a stable you absolutely trust that when they get to the races they're there fit and well to run well.
Yeah, she's certainly an interesting runner. Race 4 is a benchmark 78 over 1,000 metres. This is another nice field. What are you, Najim Sahail and so on, are going to run them along, aren't they?
They are. And look, if you look at this horse's form on top of the ground, Najim Sahail, away from synthetic tracks, pretty strong. You know, obviously, split snapper. That horse has run okay in a William Reid Stakes, and Hypothetical was behind him last time, the subsequent winner. So, I think he's going to be hard to beat. Squid Game's the other one. I don't know what to make of the jump outs. Just ridden out the back and beaten 100, beaten the length of the straight. But it wouldn't be the first time this stable have had a really quiet jump out like that and come out and won. What we know is he's a really good horse. You know, chasing Star Patrol, he's chasing the likes of Passive Aggressive in fast times. So again, you know, it may be a two horse play for me with Najim Sahail and Squid Game, the top of my thinking.
Interesting that there's been money for Squid Game, because on its last run and the way it's got its act together, it should, shouldn't it just run them ragged here, Najim Sahail, if it just fronts up in the same sort of form as last two?
Well, I think what he's going to do is run pretty good time for 1,000 metres. So Squid Game will have to do exactly that to run him down. What is on Squid Game's CV, though, is a couple of terrific finishes and runs behind, you know, those horses that have won in really fast time. So I can certainly make a case for a Squiddy.
The Squid, the Slippery Squid. I was having a chat to Ethan Brown this morning, and he is really looking forward to Juice in race five. Yeah. And I mentioned, is this another Marabi? And he basically said, oh, I don't want to say that, but yeah. So is this another Marabi?
it's got a way to go, I think, you know, certainly on the clock, but couldn't have won much better last time. The draw may not be disastrous, 1,000 metres packing them. Baldino's the one who probably looked about ready to launch when his luck ran out at the Valley. He now meets Port Albert 2.5 kilos better. So I was surprised he was the price he was, those early markets, I think around 8.50 compared to Doucet. But again, you know, there's a few hopes. I think River Ribble and Chester Warrior have jumped out really well as they resume. So a lot of angles to the race. But look, I tip Baldino, I just drawn him by the price over Doucet. But happy to play around a couple.
All right, over to race six. Gee, there's a few nonnies in this race, if nonnies actually exist. What do you make of this?
Well, one of them won last week, didn't they, with Crosshaven. So, and
Vow and Declare.
Yeah, it's it. Yeah, he's a long time between drinks. But Corner Pocket's not one of those. You know, he's won 6 of 8 on top of the ground. He was beaten first up in the Chautauqua off a near identical break and did a good job to hold on for third off on a strong speed. And that was his first ever defeat at 1,200 metres, so he's a ripper. I think Mgawa can run really well. He has loved the jump out. It was really good first up last time in. I mean, 53 kilos. Look, he hasn't got Corner Pocket CV, but he's also, you know, 3 times the price. So they're the two that interest me. Felicia New Stable trialled well, and Curran could bob up one of these days if he ever sees clear running. But I've again drawn in by a bit of the price here with Mgawa.
Yeah, and the Bald Eagle highlighted Mgawa as a really good trialer, so there might be a bit of a momentum there. The Cups Race 7, we might just flick through the last couple here. What do we make of the Cup? And then the following race is terrific as well, and then we come home with a nice last race as well. So just your thoughts on the last three, Gator?
Yeah, look, I'm happy to back Future Score. He hasn't won for a while, but he was good chasing a hot speed in the Ballarat Cup. He stayed on the inside lanes. It wasn't the best part of the track. And, look, I'm really pleasantly surprised. He's around that $9 mark and happy to back him heavily. And if I'm wrong, you know, we'll live to fight another day. Kissinger and Milford are obvious dangers. The Bullion's a fascinating race. It looks like Elvis bolted it in last year with 58. He couldn't have trialled any better. Jimmy the Bear comes back from running well in a Golden Eagle to Valana. Valana just wins a $1 million race in the Hunter. So they're the two I want to play in the Bullion. And Aaron Bay, Chicago Bear, but a wide quaddy leg home and a 78 race for me.
All right. Hey, just a quick one. I'm a bit phobic of barrier one in anything, and Simon Miller's not fussed, but Amelia's Jewel in the big race on the Northerly on Saturday at Ascot. Did you sort of wince a bit when you saw barrier one?
Oh, look, I think there are certainly pros and cons, aren't there? But what she can do is she can quicken, and I think that's where you get out of trouble a lot of the time. Like, I never, ever saw Maccabi Diva get held up when I think in a race. Because the gaps came, she just quickened into them. Other horses have trouble and bring themselves undone. So she might be able to offset that. The thing is, when you're a short price favourite, they all know where you are. So they won't make life easy for you.
Yeah, she can. I know what you're saying. She can quick into a gap before it closes, whereas others, yeah. All right. What's just a little hint of a game plan for the weekend? What do you think you might do?
Yeah, I'm certainly happy to back Gaza Blanca heavily. Future Score is probably my overs. And looks like Elvis was probably our best at packing them. But I'm scared of Jimmy the Bear in that race. But look, we have to make a best. Our parlay, I am heading to Sydney. I'm going to take Gaza Blanca race 3. Devil's Throat, race 7, looks ready to win. And we touched on IME, race 9. So that's the parlay. Rose Hill will head that way.
Good on you, Gator. Thanks as always.
Pleasure, mate.